So turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 42 tonight. We're coming to the last of our series that we've been doing on keeping ourselves on fire for the Lord. Not that we can do that. It's the Lord that supplies the fire in our hearts and lives. But there are things that the Bible has told us that will help sharpen us. If we live our lives apart from the Word of God, it's like putting a bushel over the light. And nobody can see Jesus because we've got sin in our lives, because we've got worldly pursuits that we're doing, and the Lord Jesus is not figuring in any of that. And so I want to finalize our series tonight by stating this, and this is number 8, that in times of despondency and discouragement, in difficult seasons, still pursue after the Lord. With full abandon. And we're in Psalm 42, and I'm going to have a little bit different take tonight. Lord just kind of been dealing my heart and life about how I've viewed this verse in the past and how I think it my view has changed to some degree. Verse 1, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Father, bless your word tonight, for I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Why does a deer pant? Do they just normally walk around panting? No. They pant after they've been pursued. And it kind of hit me as I've read this verse many, many times over the years, and you immediately jump to the point where he panteth after water because he's thirsty. Well, why is he thirsty? He's been pursued. He's been chased after, perhaps by a wild animal, or maybe a human has chased after him to take its life. And it's run and it's run and it's run and it's run, trying to get away from whatever danger has been following it. You know, there are times that we sometimes feel that way. Maybe it's a health issue. My heart was broken as one of the men that's been on the board of the American Association for many, many years. Dr. Matt Williams stepped down from the board. He has cancer. He's had 2 strokes. He now walks with a cane. He's been here to this ministry. He's spoken to our young people in our church. And Dr. Williams stepped down. He said, I just can't do it anymore. I can't go anymore. He said, I am so sick from all the chemo and radiation and stuff. And to see him sitting in the chair, he was recognized last night at the Museum of the Bible, and they gave him a plaque and thanked him for his years of ministry in the American Association, and tears were in his eyes. His passion for Christian education is still there, but his body has failed him. His right hand is deformed from a stroke that he had. His right side is deformed. He has to walk with a cane, and he drags his foot as he walks, but his thumb now is turned completely outward now. And here was this man that had spoken many times through the years that just has a passion and a vision for young people, for Christian education. He has served in Christian colleges as a teacher. He's now in his early 80s, and he just can't go anymore. His mind is still there, but his body has deteriorated around him. And there were many that were coming up to him, including myself. I put my arm around him and said, Dr. Williams, I just want you to know that God's still giving you your mind. So hire our secretary and just start writing. Just start teaching, writing, so they can put that down. You might not be able to type on a computer anymore, which he cannot, but he can get somebody else to do that. And he said, well, I actually have a secretary. And he said, I've got some ideas, and I think I'll do that. I think I'll maybe putting together another book, maybe one more book before the Lord calls me home. And it was encouraging to look at the man who's failing outside, the shaking hand, the lost weight from the cancer I'm sure is discouraged in that regard. He said, I haven't traveled in 2 years. I can't. This is the first time I've traveled in 2 years to Washington, D.C. because of the cancer and so forth, and it'll be my last trip. That discouragement can stop some people. It can make them bitter. It can turn them into individuals that were once joyful into people that are very angry and bitter because they want to be able to do things and they can't. And God, why did you allow this to happen to me? That's usually the next step. Dr. Williams is not that way. Matter of fact, whenever we were eating our meal last night, he walked over to me and he put his arm on my shoulder. I talked to him earlier in the day and he came up and he said, I really want to see a joint thing between Christian schools and the Pensacola area and the Mobile area do something together, and let's have a big youth rally, and I'll line up some speakers and we'll do that. He was just already, his mind was going towards something else, and I said, brother, we'll see what we can do. I said, I have a list of schools in the area that we can contact. I said, now you're going to have to find a day that works for everybody, and that's not going to be easy. I said, there are sports schedules and school events that have already been planned for the year. So we got to think a little bit further down the road than right now. But he said, we'll do that. I'll call you. And, you know, thinking ahead. Now, he was not allowing his body to discourage him to the point where he couldn't pursue after his God. And he wasn't angry with God because his body has been racked by two strokes and cancer. He knows that life is short. He said, it's always been that way. Life is short. But he just had the spirit and attitude of panting after the water brooks. That's my thought that I want to say. And the reason that the deer is panting is because something had been pursuing it to take its life. And yet he made it to the water brooks and was able to restore. Notice, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He gets to the water. Christian, are you at the water? You just don't know what's going on in my life, Pastor Todd. I mean, I got so much going on. I've got sickness. I've got family problems. I've got this. I've got that. It doesn't matter what you're going through at this point. Who's the only one that can help you? You've got to get to the source of life, and that's Jesus Christ. You've got to go to the water of life. That's Jesus Christ. And sometimes you have to go after you're being pursued by all these things. Is everybody following me? The pursuit of indebtedness, perhaps. This ministry knows something about that. God has been so good and gracious for us to be able to pay $1.5 million to get that building going. That's just God. There were years when we didn't have $1,500 in the bank account, right, Mr. Opager? Just forget about the point and the five. We lived through those years. As a child, I sat in this room. I know Bill and I both growing up, and we prayed. So I remember one time, a man prayed in church and said, Lord, keep us in the red. And Dr. Hobbs says, no, pray for it to be in the black. He got his colors mixed up. He said, we're already in the red. We want to be in the black. And as a child, I didn't get it. You know, what's red and what's black, you know? I knew that Mom had a red phone in the house that the teacher called whenever I misbehaved at school. But, you know, as a child, we lived through that. Through my middle school and high school years and the struggling that the ministry went through to pay bills and pay teachers. And we lived through that. But who brought us through? Christ did. Through the whole bankruptcy thing and through the years of paying off the indebtedness and being in a board meeting where we announced that we had paid off the last the bill on that regard and just thanking God for his provision, and then for him to go above and beyond as he has done in the last few years to allow us to be able to do things like renovate a building, which 20 years ago we couldn't do. We didn't have enough money. With the insurance settlement, we only had enough money after Hurricane Dennis and Ivan to just put a roof on it and windows, and that was it. We didn't have any more money. It was just the Lord taking care of that. But I know that there were a lot of us that were panting at the water brook. Lord, we need help. We need your sustaining grace. We need your provision. We were being pursued by all the things that indebtedness brings. Doubt. Can we make payroll? Can we pay the bills? Doubts, right? Doubts. And yet, the panting deer makes it to the water and is refreshed. Now, Christian, the same thing is true of us. Our light should shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Now, in reality, our good works are just reflecting Jesus Christ to others. We had the chance this morning as we were making our way to the meeting, and we spoke to a man from Algiers who was driving us. He's a Muslim. And we started asking him questions. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Oh, Jesus Christ is the great imam in his broken English. He is the great one, but he's not the Son of God. He said, we just believe in one God, Allah. And you could tell he's had this conversation before, and he went down his thing. And I said, well, I said, it sounds very similar to Judaism. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God either. And he said, that is right. We're very similar in that regard, the two religions. And I said, have you had any exposure to Christianity? Oh, he said, French Algiers. The French came in there in the 1800s and ruled our country for many, many years. And after World War II, they left. And I'm not speaking like him because he was broken English and we were trying to decipher everything. But we got most of it. And I said, did they bring Christ to Algiers? Oh, yeah, many of them spoke of Jesus Christ. He said, my mother spoke to a Christian man from France when we were very little, and she told us about the Christian man from France. Evidently, he was a missionary. Spoke to the family. We were able to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ with this man as we're darting across D.C., and I'm talking about darting. That man had a heavy foot. I was praying the whole time, clinging to my seatbelt as we were going from side to side, and it was raining, and I just knew we were going to die at some point during the day. But, you know, here's a man that grew up in French Algiers, his family exposed to some Christianity, and he gets a chance to come to America. He's supporting his family, by the way, in Algiers by the money he makes doing Uber. And we told him, said, listen, we're all three of us, we're believers in Jesus Christ. And we believe that there's one God, but they're in three persons. Oh, we don't agree. We don't, no. And I said, yes. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the triune God. And you know why we believe that? Because we have a holy book that tells us so. Well, we have a holy book, the Quran. He always had a response about, we have the Quran. I say, I know, we have the Bible. This is the truth of God. And my prayer for you is that you would come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, I don't know whether he processed it all. He shook my hand afterwards. He said, we had a good conversation. I don't always have good conversations. He said, people hate me because I'm Muslim. I said, I don't hate you, sir. None of us here hate you. We love you. We want you to know our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I sent him a tip afterwards, too, on Uber, and he sent me a thank you back. Thank you so much. I enjoyed the conversation. You know, you never know. But you know what that man needs? He needs the water brook. He needs the water of life. Amen? We all do, sinner and saint alike. Jesus says, come unto the water of life, and I will give it to you freely. Come ye that thirst, and I will give you all that you need, Isaiah says. I think about this in regard to our series that we've been doing here, and there is nothing that can take the place of the water of life, Jesus Christ. When you're being pursued, when you're being chased down by circumstances or people in your life or someone that hates your guts and they keep telling you that and they keep texting you or keep calling you or whatever. You know how these people can be sometimes. In spite of all that, we have a water brook. We may be panting when we get there, but we can drink freely. And our souls can be refreshed in the middle of that. And our light can burn brightly. It can burn brightly in spite of all the pressures and the difficulties and all the things that are going on in our lives. Does everybody identify in some way with what I'm sharing tonight? I think we all can. As the deer, the hart, panteth after the water brook, so my soul thirsteth after thee. Who is thee? It's none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the water of life. It's easy to stop and just say, I'm going to quit running and I'm going to just cover my eyes and I won't see what's going to happen next. All right? A deer run to the point where it just collapses because it can't run anymore. Run to the water brook, Christian. Don't run somewhere else. Don't expend your energy. Go to the place of safety. That's Christ. Go to the water brooks. That's where you'll be refreshed. You got to know where to run to in spite of whatever you're going through. I want to encourage you with this because, folks, look at us. Paul says, I'm an epistle read of all men. People are watching us all the time. You don't know who's looking, who's watching. They're noticing. What are you like away? Are you the same person when you're in another place? Or are you a different person? Well, that indicates a very serious problem. But do they see you trusting the Lord? Dependent upon Him, relying upon Him, going to the water brook. Parents, if you go to the water brook all the time, your kids are going to notice it. Amen? They're going to notice that. If you're running here and complaining about this and complaining about that and blah, 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 they don't see you at the water brook drinking from the fountain. Very unlikely that they're going to go there too. And so we've got to set the example. And that's the wonderful thing about the water of life. It's always refreshing. You ever gone to a water fountain and the compressor wasn't working and the water was warm? I remember as kids, they used to have the water fountains outside the building. And they were mounted on the wall, and it was the hottest water in the world. All right, everybody line up behind the water fountains. They had those old porcelain water fountains out there, and you turn the dial on it, and it would spit water out there, and it must have been 900 degrees. And it was just like, can't we use the water cooler inside? No, you're using the water outside. That's why we provided it, you know. You'd have to let it run forever until finally cooler water, it was never cool water, cooler water came out, and it was not refreshing. And you say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I avoided it. We'd come back from ball practice. Roger and I sometimes would ride our bikes or walk, and we'd stop down there at the water fountain, and you sit there and let it run. We didn't know what water bottles were back in that day. They didn't have plastic water bottles. They had mason jars. That doesn't travel on a bicycle too well. But we'd stop down here at the corner. Every time I walk by there, it brings back memories. It's the craziest thing. The drains are still sitting out there on the side of the building. I don't know why we haven't cut them off. We need to put that on the maintenance list. But the water lines are still there, and I can still picture the old porcelain things that were hanging on there. But it just was not refreshing water. Not like a good old cold water fountain to cool you off whenever you're hot. That's the watering hole. That's the fountain. That's Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you, if you want to be a testimony to your kids and to your grandkids and to your coworkers and to your friends and family and to people that don't even know who you are, that you come in contact with, that something's different about them. Something's different about them. Causes them to ask questions. You know, when you get into an Uber and you're all dressed up, you know, I've been mistaken for a congressman. You didn't know that, did you? People look at you, they see you all dressed up, and We had on the house clip-on, you know, and you're walking along there, and I'm all dressed up, and I'm walking along there, and people are looking at me. I don't have the button. All the house members have a button. It's numbered, by the way. It's their ranking in the House or their ranking in the Senate has a number on the back of the button. So if you're a low man on the totem pole, you're way up there. You're not up in the upper echelon as far as the numbers and so forth like that. But I'm not a congressman. And I didn't sleep in a Holiday Inn Express either and pretend to be one. But there is something about walking with the Lord and letting your light so shine before men. Who gets the honor? Jesus Christ. Who gets the glory? God Almighty. And you're refreshed. You're refreshed.